Baptist Women's Day. And we're doing this with reverence and thanks to the Lord for all that He's done for us. He has been with our church since it was founded, almost 150 years ago. And He's still with us today, and He's blessing us today. We're also giving thanks to the ladies who are participating in the program today. Thank you, preacher, for allowing us this moment to bless the Lord, praise the Lord ourselves in our own little way. And we want to thank the ones that work behind the scenes as well as the ones who are actively participating. In particular, we'd like to thank Mrs. Kathy Mobley. She made all the arrangements for the women's breakfast this morning. She did all the shopping, and she strong-armed Tim into getting the men's brotherhood to do all the cooking for us. So we appreciate Kathy and all of the men who were there to serve us and to clean up after us. With that, Mary?
I am not a song leader, but here I am this morning. I think Elaine swindled me into this. She just sort of threw it in my lap and said, "You're doing it." So y'all will have to bear with me. If you would stand with me, our first hymn this morning is "Love Lifted Me," and it will be on the screen, or if you want to look in the book, it will be page 546 of our hymnal, and we will sing all three stanzas.
Good morning. So I wanted to welcome you and give a few announcements this morning. There are a few things in the bulletin, but just share those quickly with you. So as mentioned last week, there are some books in the mailroom. Those are open to anyone who has interest. They are free, and those will be available until next Sunday. So please take a look and take home all you want. Give them to friends. Those will be there until next Sunday. Also, we have the WMU yard sale is coming up, so look through your closet for treasures that used to be that can now be treasures new for someone else. That will be the first and second Saturday in April, so that's the 6th and the 13th. And then the whole month of April, we'll be taking up an Annie Armstrong love offering. So Easter is a little bit early this year in March, but at the end of March. So we're going to take up the Annie Armstrong offering in April. So be praying on that and do as God would have you to do there. Some prayer requests that we had this morning. Renee Gibson, Ricky McJunkin, his son was killed earlier, so please keep that family in your prayer. Ashley Thompson, Eloise's son David, John Noel, Ashley, Miss Eloise, Christian, and if I may, I'm going to ask for prayers for my granddaughter Brooklyn. She has broken her nose, so keep her in your prayers, please.
She didn't break it.
Well, no. It was a baseball, but it is broken. Are there other prayer requests before we go to prayer? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. For those who couldn't hear, first responders, please keep those in your prayer. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you didn't hear policewoman, please keep that special prayer in your heart. Others? Okay. This time, Miss Helene, I'll ask you if you will lead us in prayer.
Let's bow for prayer. Dear Father God, we thank you for the blessings you provide to us every day that we don't even think about. We're unworthy, but you, Lord, are worthy of all our praise and all our love. And we ask you to bless our humble service. Please bless and touch this day, Lord, and may one heart be stirred by what we hear in the coming hour. And we ask this in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, if you would stand once again, please, for our offertory hymn. It is Precious Memories. We'll do all three verses. Just memories from my soul. At this time, our ushers will come forward for the offering.
Requested to sing this song, and it's probably one of my favorites that I've fallen in love with over time, but it's definitely something that hits close to home, and I hope y'all can enjoy it this morning.
Going down for the last time.
workers are getting the materials. I failed to mention earlier, our theme for today is Remember When. So we're remembering God's blessings in our lives.
Well, apparently I didn't blow it last year because I'm speaking again this year. Hold on. Hey.
Pastor Raj, do you have that little wooden cross in your pocket?
Okay, it's fine. I don't need it. It's okay. We good. All right, so with today being, you know, Remember When and whatnot, I decided that we could all take a trip down memory lane. So, go ahead, close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. We're all going to do this together. All right. I want you to think hard, no matter how long it takes. For some of y'all, that might take longer. Think about your biggest heartache you've experienced so far. Now, this could be, for me, it was a trial I didn't understand. You can open your eyes. Now that you have that recalled into your memory, for me, it was a few years ago when I had a really bad ex-boyfriend, and I went through a lot of stuff with that. That was one of the hardest trials that I didn't understand. Now, looking back, now that I'm like 4 years past it, I can see all the times that God was in it, even though I didn't see it in the moment. And with these trials, it's important to look back to them. So a verse that comes to my mind when I always think back to those days of my life is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, that didn't help me in the time at all, because I was like, psh, what's that mean? But now, looking back and remembering on that, without that happening in my life, I wouldn't be the woman I am today. Without that happening in my life, I wouldn't have the relationship I have with my parents today. And honestly, I probably wouldn't be the nurse I am today, because while it did colden me up a little bit, I have this overwhelming sense of compassion in areas that I never would have understood. And while it took a long time back then, with patience, God made a perfect work out of all of that. So now, close your eyes again. I want you to think about the most alone and abandoned you've ever felt. Think about it for a sec. I don't know why they put the, like, most darkest person up here to start us off, but so, for me, this moment was after a football game, my senior year of high school. It was during the time of dealing with all of the aftermath from what I just mentioned prior to this. And it was the one time that my parents went out of town without me. Because normally I don't let them do that. But they went to Detroit having such a great time on their own, not realizing how messed up their daughter felt in that moment. So I had gone out with some friends. We went to cook out, got some milkshakes after this football game. Through the entire football game, all that was being chanted was this guy's name. All that was being talked about, I just broke somebody's pen. All that was being talked about was this guy and how dumb he was, but how everybody loved him. And it was just an overall alone feeling, because I was thinking, like, God, where are you at? Why are you letting this happen? Normally, I would have Cynthia to talk to it about, but she wasn't there. So instead, I just went out to focus on other things. Well, when I got back and all of my friends had left, it was just me. And it all sank in. And it was the coldest, darkest, most alone feeling I have ever felt. And it got to the point where I was about to permanently get rid of that feeling for good. And I can remember very vividly telling God, if you truly have a purpose for all of this and for my life, the person I'm about to call is going to answer. And if not, then I have my answer, and I'm not going to feel this way anymore. So I called that person, and it rang, and it rang, and I thought I was about to get my answer. But on that last ring, she picked up. And I immediately began to cry, because I knew, first off, I wasn't alone, but second off, that God really did have a plan for it all. So that night, I decided that no matter how alone I felt, or how terrible I felt with it all, that no matter what, there was going to be some kind of end game to it. So that was my moment. And a verse that comes to my mind when I think back to that is Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And in that night, when I felt the most alone, he did. He upheld me, and he gave me the strength that I didn't have on my own. All right, so now close your eyes again. I want you to think of the time that you had asked for something, and it just felt like you were waiting forever on God to answer that. Okay, so for me, it was when we left our old church. That's the church that I grew up in with my brother. We were all so tight, like family. It was all I had known for like 15 years. I didn't know what we were doing, and I had all this other junk going on in the background. But I was trying to remember that God had took us through so much at that old church that he wasn't going to leave us. But the waiting in that season, we were going to a church, and I didn't feel like I really fit in there, and I just didn't feel like I was finding what God was wanting me to find there. And the season of waiting was so hard, and I almost gave up, but I didn't, because God wouldn't let me. But for that one, a verse that comes to my mind is Isaiah 40, verse 31, and it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And it felt like we were walking for a very, very long time. But God wouldn't let us faint, and then he brought us here, which was a blessing that I had no idea would happen. Because now, instead of being at a church that we felt like was family, we are at a church with family, with real family. Like, half of our family literally is sitting on the left side. Like, that just doesn't happen. All right. So, close your eyes again. I promise I'm getting close to the end. All right. Think about a time that you didn't trust God and you really wanted some reassurance that he was still around. Rusty loves this story. So for this one, this was about 3 years ago when I had a whole different plan for my life. And I was going to marry this whole other guy because I thought he was the man of my dreams. Well, me and Rusty, we had known each other since I was like 9. But I thought he was that weird guy that hung around my brother. So I never really paid attention to him that much. And he thought I was the weird little sister, so he didn't really pay attention to me. But as I'm already planning, I got the promise ring. I really thought I was something, about to marry this other guy. One night, after working at the Y, I just got this feeling from God like, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Well, me being me, I ignored it because for whatever reason, I'm very blessed. God, he talks very loudly to me, and it's in very obvious ways. I think it's because he knows I won't listen any other way. And we actually constantly joke about how he literally might as well just hit me in the face for some things. So he told me that I was supposed to actually be with Rusty instead of this guy I was about to marry. I said, that's crazy. That's dumb. Because Rusty, he was about to propose to a whole nother girl. And I was waiting on my proposal. So he wouldn't let me leave it alone. Well, then some things in the family happened, and my brother decided he was going to have a chat with me. And he told me that pretty much if I married the wrong person, I was going to have to deal with that the rest of my life. Well, what I was already dealing with that he didn't know was that God was telling me I was supposed to be with Rusty. So finally, I bit the bullet, and I was like, all right, I guess. And I called up Rusty. Well, actually, Kimberly called him up to see if he was by himself or with his other girlfriend. And when he wasn't, she was like, okay, and just hung up on him. So that, of course, had him in a panic attack, wondering what was going on. And I showed up at his door and told him that pretty much I knew that God wanted us to be together and that I had these feelings for him, all the, you know, Hallmark movie stuff. Well, he had the audacity to tell me that he was in a relationship and was probably about to get married. So I'm like, all right, fine, I did right by God. You go out and you be wrong, whatever. So I get back with the guy I thought I was going to marry. And then Rusty comes back and says, you know what, you're right. So now I'm really in a mess. All right, so I was really confused at this moment. And I told God, I was like, here's the thing. I am going to be like Gideon right now and lay out three tasks that I need you to perform directly on the dot for me to know that this is supposed to happen. All right, three impossible tasks. One of them was for Rusty to leave this other girl. All right, and the other one was for the guy I was about to marry, for him to walk away for a little bit. It was all super impossible sounding at the time. Well, by the end of the week, all three of those things had been checked off. So I was like, oh, okay, well, great. So that was the time that I wanted reassurance, and God gave me that reassurance, just like he did for Gideon. Now, you're wondering why I took you on this whole rabbit trail. When I heard about what the theme was going to be, it didn't really register with me until deep in the middle of last night, when it just hit me in the head, because like I said, God literally, he has to be very loud for me to listen to him sometimes. So he gave me the story from Joshua, and it's Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And it's after the children of Israel cross over Jordan, and the priests have stepped into the water, and the water, you know, not like, it just flowed away from them, for them to be able to cross. So at this moment, Joshua commanded 12 men, one from each tribe, to take 12 stones from the middle of the river where the priest stood. He had them set them up at camp, stack them up, make a monument. He had them make that monument to serve as a memorial for future generations to remember God's faithfulness and the deeds he does for his people. So when I look at each of these moments in my head, I have monuments for them. One of them, I have an actual monument that my dad carries around in his pocket. But there's a monument for each one of these memories, and it's important for us to be able to look back at these hard times in our life, whether they were hard times or good times, and remember the deeds that God has done for us, because these are stories that I'm going to be able to tell Morgan one day about the faithfulness that God had on her really dumb mom. And these are stories that Rusty's going to get to tell Morgan one day about how God had all these deeds planned for her really dumb dad. So just try to think back to your monuments and remember God's faithfulness to you.
I didn't know until yesterday morning that I was going to be speaking today. We had someone else lined up, but unfortunately she's been detained out of town, so you're going to have to deal with me today. I apologize. When I started trying to think of what I would talk about today, I went to my mother. This is hers. You can see how worn it is. And when I opened it, the first thing I found were two pieces of paper, and I'll share one of them with you. She had typed this up on March 18, 1968. So this time of year. Psalms chapter 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leashing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance unto us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. And that was my mother. I was born November 22nd, 1947. Yes, I'm older than dirt. I was born at Slater and Dr. Tacasey's little clinic there, as was my brother 20 months before me. We had a sister, too, that was 8 years older than me, 6 years older than Jerry. And we lived in a little log house, four-room log house, on Freeman Bridge Road in Marietta. No plumbing. We drew water from the well that was right out in the yard outside the back porch. And I remember a beautiful crabapple tree that bloomed in the spring, and it smelled so heavenly. And then on beyond there was our outhouse, and it didn't smell heavenly. We attended Friendship Baptist Church, but in 1952, December of 52, right after my fifth birthday, we moved to Greenville. My dad was working out of town a lot and living on a rural road. You know, it was difficult. So we moved into Greenville, another little four-room house. My brother and I were so disappointed because Mother said with us moving, and it already being the first week of December, we wouldn't have a Christmas tree. Well, we pitched a fit. So Daddy got a little yellow pine tree somewhere, and we decorated, and with all the tinsel on it, it might have been a beautiful balsam pine. It was just beautiful, in our eyes anyway. So we went to Cedar Lane Baptist Church under the direction of Reverend S.F. McCauley. He was an older man, and his wife, Mrs. McCauley, would teach GAs in the church parsonage in her home. And I remember wonderful things from then. And I was sure I was going to be a missionary when I was in the sixth grade and go to China like Lottie Moon had done and work with the people there and minister to them. I had even written a story about, you know, being on the ship in the mist and going out into the ocean on the trip to China. You know, you had to write stories when you were in school. Essays, I guess they call them now, but it was stories when I was in grammar school, and we were still grammar school in sixth grade. Then when I was 15 years old, my dad left my mother and us and moved to Western Tennessee. Mother was only 43 years old, and she was working at Southern Weaving, which is a very small mill. And there were financial hardships because Daddy wasn't sending any money back home. I remember a jar of pennies that had been collected over probably 10 years. And I remember at one point in time, Mother having me to count out the pennies so I could walk to a little community store close to the house and buy a pound of bologna so we would have some meat with our supper that night. We lived on faith and dried beans. Then I graduated from high school in 1965 and began working at a small loan office. And so my brother had graduated the year ahead of me, so we both had jobs, and we were able to help Mother a little financially with the household. Then I met Wendell Hardin in 1967, and we were married in 1968. At the home of Reverend McCauley. At the time, Wendell was in the Navy, and he didn't know his leave was approved until Monday, and it started on Tuesday. So there was no time to plan a big wedding. He had applied for leave several times before, but because he was junior on the ship, others with seniority got first choice. Anyway, we went to Preacher McCauley's house, and Mrs. McCauley played the piano and even provided little cups of rice to throw at us as we went out the door. And, of course, my sweet mother was with me. So we lived in Norfolk, Virginia, married in 68. We had our daughter, Andrea, in 1970, and Matt was born in 1972. In 1977, we went on a camping trip one weekend to Pisgah Forest, and we had gone over into Hendersonville from Brevard that Saturday afternoon to look for a movie that everybody wanted to watch, and we didn't find a movie house that had it playing. So we went to a putt-putt golf course and played some golf. And then on the way back to the campground, a man hit us head on. He came across the road. Wendell had even gotten over into the ditch, and he hit us head on. And I had a severe concussion. Matt had a broken collarbone, and Andrea had the wind knocked out of her and had to be given oxygen. But I don't remember anything about that because I was knocked unconscious. But the thing of it was, the motor was pushed back in on Wendell, and it hit his left knee and pushed the femur up and crushed his hip bone. Many times I would remember, just the week before, we'd had a little family picnic and Wendell playing tag with the kids running around, and then I didn't think my husband would ever run again, and he really can't. And he has continuing problems from that, but he has had hip replacement surgery and then a revision of that. When he had surgery in the hospital to piece the hip back together, and when they first got him up, it started trying to dislocate. So they put him in a body cast, and he came home in a body cast for 6 long weeks. We had a hospital bed brought in, and he was in that. I was very fortunate that the people I worked for worked with me. I was allowed to work from home 2 days a week, and Wendell's mother, Bernice Hardin, and my sister, Barbara, took turns staying with him on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday so I could work and bring home some money. Due to the nerve damage at his hip, it's called sciatic nerve, he had severe pain in the top of his foot. And he would have me rub his foot and massage it. And one night, he was absolutely in tears. He was in so much pain. And he had pain medicine that he was taking. And, you know, you can't overdose him. So he was laying there suffering and crying. And I was rubbing his foot. And I prayed and asked the Lord, please take this pain away. And all of a sudden, Wendell fainted. And for a minute, I didn't know if he was alive or not. I left his foot and went up and felt, and I felt the heartbeat, so I knew he was okay. And then I realized God had instantly answered my prayer. And when he came to, a short time after that, his foot wasn't hurting anymore. He did have some more pain, but he was never in pain again like he was that night. That was the hand of God. He touched me. He touched Wendell. And I praise his name for all he has done. I have not always been faithful to the Lord the way I should be, but he's always been faithful to me.
Okay, y'all can probably hear my heart beating out there. Y'all know that I am not a speaker, not. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to share a few things. Before I start, thank you to all the men for coming out fixing breakfast this morning. It was great. Had a wonderful turnout. And I'm thankful for all the men and for all the women that did come out. I thank you for that. It's kind of humorous to me. I was kind of sitting up there laughing to myself as Beck was speaking. You can tell she's my daughter because we both kind of are going down the same thought, same road here. It's a little bit different, but anyway. No, you don't have to. I mean, you can if you want to, but it don't matter. So before I start, I just want to share a few verses with you, and I know at first you're going to be like, what in the world? How in the world does that even fit? But I hope that as I go, you'll see. 1 Samuel 17, verses 33-37. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And in verse 37 it says, David said moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And so, like I said, that may not make sense, but hopefully as I travel down, I've lived on memory lane for this last week. And when Elaine asked me about a theme for today, I don't know, the Lord just kept bringing Remember When back to my mind. And I don't know if it was because he wanted y'all to hear or if it was because he knew I needed it. I needed to go back down and live down memory lane. And so, like, you always hear people talk about, hey, you remember when this happened and you remember when that happened, and you sit down and talk with some of the older people. Oh, y'all remember way back in East Otoe, this big revival. And I know we've talked about it here. Some of y'all have even mentioned it here. And you always hear people talk about remember when, remember when. But I want y'all to understand, just like as important it is to me, we don't have to live off of everybody else's remember wins. It's important for us to have those remember when times in our life and share them with our children. And it's kind of funny, Rebecca talked about, you know, having these times to share with Morgan as she grows up. We've always made it a point with Daniel and Rebecca to share our remember when times with them and to show them the importance of looking back. When we're in a battle right now, we may think it's huge. We may think it's a Goliath, but really it's just a bear or a lion. And whether it's that or whether it's a Goliath, God can get us through those things. And so I thought about a few of the biggest remember wins, or really not the biggest, but I remember when I was going to marry Roger, you know, our pastor was like, you know, you don't understand, you're marrying a preacher. Well, I thought, well, big deal. That really, that's not that big of a deal. Well, guess what? It's a huge deal, okay? But God saw fit to work that out, even when I thought. So you travel on. We had a honeymoon baby. He was born with a lot of complications. Daniel spent the first couple months of his life in NICU. But guess what? I remember when God showed us his plan and his purpose for that. And he saved Daniel from what could have been really bad. And as you travel along, I look back and I remember when we wanted another child so bad. And we tried for 6 years. But I remember when God finally said, there's going to be a Rebecca. And he gave us her. And then, like I said, there's so many in our lives. And she mentioned when we left our other church. At that time, it seemed bigger than Goliath. That was a huge deal. But we can look back now and say, well, I remember when God showed us this. And I remember when God showed us that. And guess what he did? He took care of us through every bit of that. And we've always taught our children to pray for specifics. And it's funny that she used the example of her and Rusty, because I was actually going to use that example myself. That's why I said you can tell she's been raised by me and Roger. But we've always taught them that you ask God, don't just throw it out there and say, God, just show me what to do. I mean, he can show us what to do, but if you want God to really know that you're truly seeking his will and that you're listening for him and you're looking for him, I don't think there's anything in the world wrong with saying, okay, Lord, these are some things that's got to happen, this, and this. And like she said, within that week, the things that we thought were impossible, guess what they were? They were little lions and they were little bears to God because he took care of them. And I'll never forget just a few weeks ago. I mean, this has not only rolled over from our children, but to Rusty and to Kimberly, because Kimberly changed jobs several months ago. And she was dealing with, you know, I don't know if I should change jobs or not. And I said, Kim, what have we always taught our kids? And she said, okay. Ask for something specific. And she said, so what should that be? And I said, that's not for me to decide. You get along with God and you figure out, you lay out three things that you want only him to be able to do. And guess what? Within 2 days, all three of those things were taken care of. And so now, the point of that is, when you do that, you can never look back and say, you know what, I don't really know if I should have went this way or I should have gone that way. Because guess what? He didn't do those three things in 2 days just to confuse you, because he's not the author of confusion. So, so I'm thankful for that. We've taught our children to have those remember when moments, and they've lived their lives off of those. I mean,
We have so many remember wins of when Beck was going through nursing school. I mean, it's only God could have got her through that. And then we look at, you know, later on in our married life, we were finally plugging along, doing fairly decent, and I got really sick one November. And we had no idea what was wrong with me. And here came a huge Goliath for me. For 2 solid years, I was so sick. I was so in pain. I had hives from head to toe in my mouth, in my eyes. And we had no idea. And that was a huge Goliath that I thought we would never be able to slay him. I just thought that was, I would have just rather been dead than to live that way. And we prayed and prayed, Lord, please, you're going to have to do something. I can't live this way. And this has been, how many years ago now, Raj? I don't know. 7 to 10 years ago now. And I was just ready to give up, completely ready to give up. And God saw fit to put me with a doctor in Charleston. And he killed my Goliath through Dr. Ward, because she was able to figure out what was wrong with me and how to treat it. And so I stand here today with I do have complications, but I don't have the issues I had before. So that was a huge Goliath to me. And then one of the most vivid things I want to share with y'all, and I don't know, we may have shared this with some of y'all. I don't remember if we have or not, but Jake had asked Roger, you know, to come up here and interim for y'all and whatnot. And he did. Well, then he was asked several weeks into it. He was asked if he would consider being the pastor here. Well, we thought, well, you know, that's pretty good. You know, we've been waiting on God to show us, because we had been out of our other church for a couple years now. Well, doggone. That same day, I think it was, if I'm right, he gets a call from another church that he had been preaching at, very same day. And he says, Roger, he said, you know, we love you. We love y'all, your family. He said, we would love for you to come up and, you know, preach again, get the feel for it, and see if you feel at peace with us putting you before the church to be our pastor. Well, he called me, and we were like, really, Lord? We've been sitting here for months. I mean, it's like heaven had closed up, totally closed up. We've been sitting here for months. And now on the same day, you give us these two churches. And we thought, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know, because, you know, yeah, this was closer to home. That had perks. This had perks. There was cons. I mean, you know, we're just like, what in the world do you do? Well, you start praying. And that's what I would encourage everybody to do. When you have a decision to make, it doesn't matter if it's big or small. God's concerned with every decision you make. And so we started praying. And, you know, and it almost looked to us like through our eyes that he was leading us up to Bob's Creek, which is, I don't know, 30 minutes up the road, up on 25. We're like, well, I mean, if that's what he wants, that's, you know, we'll go wherever he wants. So we went up there that Wednesday night, and me and him both had been praying separately. Lord, please, you're going to have to show us. And we walked in that night, sat down, and I don't even remember what took place in the service to make us feel this way. But I sat there, and it was like God came and sat down right between me and him. They had chairs like that. And there was a little bit of space between us. And I'm telling you, I think God physically came in and sat down in those chairs beside us and said, this is not where I want you. And I was thinking, you know, and I sat there and I was thinking, I wonder if I'm the only one that's feeling this. Well, I looked at him. He didn't show any, you know, he just sitting there, didn't show any emotion. And I couldn't even concentrate on what they were saying. And we got up and we left and we got in the car, and I said, honey. And he said, I know you don't have to say it. And I said, what? And he said, I know, this is not it. And I said, whew, I was so glad that God showed him that too. But that was a Goliath in our life. And that may not seem like much to y'all, but I'm going to tell y'all what it does. So Roger ended up contacting, I don't know who it was, Elaine or Jake or somebody. And, you know, we ended up still here. And so the importance of looking back to that and saying, I remember when God did that for us, is because when we've hit hard times here, and we have hit them here in the last 3.5 years, you're gonna hit hard times no matter what. But we can look back, even during the hard times that we've hit here, where it seems like, you know, the flesh side of us wants to tuck tail and run and be like, I can't do this. We can look back and say, but remember when we were sitting at Bob's Creek that night and God showed us he wanted us at Pleasant Grove. He didn't want us at Bob Creek. And so I would just encourage each one of you, if none of this has made any sense, it's okay. It's okay to ask God for stuff. It's okay. God let us kill the bears and the lions. He helped us slay those things along the way so that we would have enough confidence that when we faced our Goliath, hey, we've already killed the bear and the lion. This one's nothing. I mean, yes, he's bigger, but God's already showed us he could do these, and he's going to do this too. And I just want to encourage each one of you to have those, how important it is to have those times in your life. If you don't have those times in your life, you are missing out on the blessings of God. And there's a song that Roger used to sing. I brought my phone up here, and he said, who you going to call? But I looked. But he used to sing this song, and a lot of you probably know it. No need to doubt him now. I don't know if you know it or not. Well, the first verse says, looking back through the years, the heartaches and tears, the Lord has never once let me down. Though I don't understand, still I trust in his plan, for he said that his grace would abound. And then the second verse says, child of God, have no fear, though your past seems unclear. Someday God's plan will unfold. He has never, never failed. He will always prevail. For the Lord, he is still in control. And I can't tell y'all how true that is in our lives. And it can be that true in your life too.
I'd like to add, I told them the first time we came here that that's where they were going to end up.
Amen. I want to give all the ladies of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church a big hand. We often take for granted, but I'm telling you, the women of this church, I am so thankful for their, not just their ability, but as Gerald mentioned about Alan this morning, for their availability. I appreciate the willingness to be involved. And I'm thankful for my wife. I am. And I don't make that lightly. And when she started throwing them hands, I thought I had a woman preacher on my hand a time or two. But I'll share a story in closing, too. Going back to bears and lions and talking about my wife. I went to the altar one Sunday morning, broken. God had put a burden on my heart for New York, and I knew that's where God wanted me to go. Knew that's what God wanted for my life. But I knew I had just married a wife. And like she said, I told her when we were dating, I said, you're marrying a preacher. And she said, so what? And I said, do you know what a preacher does? She gave the ring back 3 weeks later, by the way. But I got in the car after dealing with God in the altar at that church that day. And I said, God, I know what you want and I'm willing to do it. But somehow, you've got to do that in my wife's heart. And I know she ain't got the calling I got. I left church that day not telling a soul what I had dealt with in the altar. And was going through KFC, yes, that's how much I love my wife. He who eats no chicken was going through KFC. I'd ordered at the sign and we were sitting in the drive-thru. I was burdened but wasn't showing it. And my wife broke down and started crying. I looked over at her and I said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she said, "Just go ahead and surrender. You know we're supposed to be in New York." And since that time, I've never doubted God. I've never. If God put on my heart today, and I'm praying He don't, but if God put on my heart today to go in the backside of Africa, I'd buy my plane ticket. That's where I'm at. There is no need to doubt Him. He's killed too many bears and lions for the Morgan family. And I pray, you know what I'm talking about when I say that. I pray you got stories. Because I'm telling you, the reason the generation coming up behind us, and I look at the gray hairs like I am, is because we failed to tell them. Look at that bear. God did that. Look at that lion. God did that. They've got to see them. If God ain't working in our lives, how can we expect it to work in the lives of the next generation? Head bowed, eyes closed. Father, you know, Lord, the testimonies. I realize the service is different, but God, we're thankful, Lord, that you speak your word in so many different avenues. And this morning, God, we know your word was spoken. And Lord, there may be somebody in this sanctuary today facing a Goliath that seems bigger than anything they can overcome. They're intimidated by it. But Lord, I pray as the testimonies of these three ladies and truthfully, the testimony of the many ladies that's sitting in the pews and the men as well. Lord, I pray may we encourage those coming behind us to know that the Goliath can be took care of by the same God that takes care of the bears and the lions. God, help them find comfort today in you. Lord, if there be one here that has a need, I pray may they bring it to your feet and find that you're faithful to take care of that need. If there's one here that don't know you, Lord, and never had those stories to tell, never had a personal connection with the Lord Jesus, I pray this morning be the morning they come to know you. Have your way, Lord, in the invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing to your feet this morning, I think we're going to close with a hymn of invitation. And I'm looking around, so I'm guessing that must be me this morning. So, but however, Philip, if you want to come on, we'll put the words up. We'll do a hymn invitation. The altar's open. What page there? Just as I am. As the words will be on the screen, the altar's open. And I'm down front. If you need me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. If you just need time around the altar to give God thanks for the remember wins in your life, do that. Whatever God's got on your heart, this is your time. As we sing together.